appreciate that so much. I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of James. And I'm going to start reading at verse 1. Read a few verses of scripture here. James 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if you would jump down to verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Amen. I want to preach to you just for the next few moments here on this title, The Cost of Blessing. The Cost of Blessing. I was in my office yesterday and studying and preparing for this, and I had no idea what to title it. I was going back and forth, and I woke up this morning, and this is the first thing that God laid on my mind, the cost of blessing. You may be seated. I think it's safe to say that if we were to take a poll here this morning, if we were to vote on what it is that we as human beings want out of life, I feel that we would possibly all say the same thing. We would. I think all of us in here want to be blessed. I think that we all in here want are seeking after a blessed life. And you know, I begin to think about, you know, and some people probably wouldn't come out and say that per se, like, you know, yes, I want a blessed life, but more today we say fulfilled life or happy life. That's what we're after. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about what are some things that make me happy? And aside from church and everything like that, I begin to think of different things, like such as, you know, Oreos being in the house with milk that isn't expired. Let's get that clear right now. If I will not drink milk on its expiration date. No. If milk expires today, it's expired. End of story. We're throwing it out. Get it out of here. I don't care how much is left. It's gone. But anyways, things that make me happy. Oreos in the house, and they got to be double stuffed. There isn't anything else. I don't care who you are, what you say. You're a liar and the truth isn't in you. It's got to be double stuffed. Double stuffed is the way to go. But Oreos in the house and different things that happen in my life that, you know, make me happy. If the Cowboys make the Super Bowl this year, that would make me happy. Mallory came up to me yesterday and she said, Super Bowl is not going to be good for you this year. And I said, why is that? She said, well, our child is due on the 4th. Super Bowl Sunday is the 5th. Not good. So of course this would be the year that they do make the Super Bowl, but that's all right. You know where I would be. But things like that, you know, come on. Don't judge me. But happiness, where is it that we find ourselves? What are some things happening to us that make us happy, that make us fulfilled, that make us blessed? And honesty, in this world, if you were to pull the world, it would be things like that they do get their happiness from. It's what's happening in their life where they get happiness from. And it, in most cases, or in certain cases, it is a favorite sports team being in the playoffs or making the championship game or, the Olympics or country winning gold medals and things like that. You know, those are different things that, that make us happy. But here's a basic conundrum of life. We all by nature seek happiness. Some people think they find it in the things of this world. And if I'm, you know, if I'm hanging out with my friends, I'm happy. If I'm eating at my favorite restaurant, I'm happy. If tomorrow is Friday, then I'm happy. If we're headed out on vacation or have plenty of money in the bank, just got the promotion, those things. And sure, all of those things do bring a sense of happiness. I'm not sitting here denying that this morning. They do bring a sense of happiness. But I heard this one time. And the man said this. He said, you will never find peace. You will never find joy. You will never find happiness apart from Jesus Christ. What a claim that we Christians make. We not only say that happiness comes through Jesus. We say that the only lasting happiness comes through Him. Amen. We flatly declare that there is no ultimate peace. There is no ultimate joy or fulfillment in money or power or fame or degrees or buildings or gold medals or big estates or anything else that money can buy. You see, wealth can do many of things, but it cannot buy you peace of mind. Amen. Fame can do many of things, but it cannot give us lasting joy. Power can do many things, but it cannot free us from our guilt. Friend, the joy that Jesus brings will last even when our hearts are breaking, because you see, teardrops soon enough will fall. When the hard times come, we need a joy greater than the passing pleasure of seeing our favorite team in the Super Bowl or seeing our favorite athlete win the championship. We need something that's going to hold on to us far past those things. We need a happiness that's not based on happenings. We need the joy of the Lord in our lives, and we need that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. When the sun isn't shining on our situation, life's throwing us curveballs. We need the joy of the Lord that's going to hold on to us in the midst of adversity. And so we find James chapter number 1 writing to the 12 tribes, which were scattered across the Roman Empire. He's writing to Christians who were suffering. And in verse 12, he explains to them how to be blessed. He gives them the path to true happiness. James writes in the first part of verse 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Everybody say under. Under trial. We must remain steadfast under trial. The Greek word has the idea of soldiers standing in position when the enemy mounts a fierce attack. When others cut and run, the man stands and fights. He does not give in to fear. He does not flinch when the battle gets hot. He does not look for a quick way out. He stands and fights when the enemy storms the gate. Let me tell you, if you want to be blessed by God, if you are looking for a life that is filled with fulfillment, if you are looking for a lasting joy, my friend, you've got to learn to be steadfast under trial. You've got to be faithful when it's not easy, unwavering when everything else is out of order. You've got to be loyal and dependable. Amen. We must be dedicated when it's not popular. We must remain faithful when nobody else is doing it. Steadfast under trial. God delivers His people in two ways. And sometimes He delivers us from trials. And that's the ones that we like. When
We like it when God delivers us from the trials, when He just kind of picks us up and moves us out of the fiery furnace, when He picks us up and takes us out of that situation. We like it when God just removes us, just takes us out of the whole thing. But most of the time, we aren't even aware of when those things happen in our life. We won't even know until we get to heaven, my friend, and see how many times God intervened to protect us from danger, because sometimes He does remove us from the trials. And sometimes God protects us through the trial. And this, I would have to say, is what happens most. He gives us what we need as we go through the fiery furnace. He gives us what we need when we're going through that trial. And when our furnace time is over, we will emerge stronger than we were before. I suppose most of us in here today would say that I would rather be spared from trial than to have to go through it. And that's a perfectly normal way to respond to that. That's a perfectly normal way to feel. But rarely do we have the choice, right? Amen. Cancer comes whether we want it to or not. Sickness comes whether we want it to or not. The economy crashes and takes our jobs. The bad phone calls come whenever, whether we want it or not. These aren't things that we ask for. They're just things that happen. Bad things happen all the time. I know of no way to avoid the troubles that this world will give us. I know of no ways that we can escape the toils and the snares. I know of no way that we can escape all this trouble with living in a falling world. Believe me, if I knew, if he knew, we'd stand up here, we'd shout it from the rooftops of this is what you can do to escape it. But it's just not possible. As far as trials are concerned, I believe we are all in one of three places. Listen to me. One of three places, every single one of us in the room. We're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or getting ready to go in a trial. Every single one of us in this room, we're in one of three places. Every single one of us. And this is the thing, James does not offer us any schemes that will enable us to avoid that trouble, to avoid that the trouble that comes our way. He doesn't offer us any escape route. He doesn't offer us any secret door or secret hatch to get out quickly. But he does say this, that God promises. He said God promises a blessing to those who will endure their trials with grace, with dignity, with fortitude. You see, sometimes the trials are more severe than illness or the loss of the job. I know we view those things as trials, and rightfully so, but sometimes they go even beyond that. Open up your newspaper to the latest story and read some of the things that are going on in our world. We live in a messed up, strange world. Lately, it's become an everyday event, Brother Rice, where I will wake up, I'll go grab my phone off of charge, and I'll just sit there and look at the updates that happen overnight. It has become an hourly thing. Look up at my phone and read about the latest bombing, the latest massacre, the latest shooting. Came across this story. ISIS coming up on a group of children. They turned up and said to the children, these children were 15 years old and younger. They turn up on them and they say this. They say, you say the words that you will follow Muhammad. The children responded, no, we love Yeshua. We have always loved Yeshua. We have always followed Yeshua. Yeshua has always been with us. They said again, say the words. Say you will follow Muhammad. And they said, no, we can't. And every single one of them was beheaded. There was a man from the Jihad Watch named Robert Spencer. He was being interviewed and was asked, he was asked the question, if we could expect more things like this in America, and he quickly responded, nothing is more certain than that. Nothing is more certain than that. Friend, God forbid that anything like this happen to us, But just know this, that trials come and nobody is exempt from trials. Being a Christian does not exempt you from going through trials. I'm reminding of that song this morning that the Grahams have sung before. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy. He never offered victory without fighting. So understand this, trials come, tests that come, but we have a promise that help is going to show up. We don't know when, we don't know even how. We just know that He's an on-time God and He's going to show up when we need Him the most. Clap your hands unto the Lord this morning. Come on, some of you are in trials right now and you need to know this, that He's an on-time God. You may not see help coming, but help is on the way. We go through the trials. So if you want a blessing from God, if you want the blessed life, be steadfast when the trial comes. Be steadfast while you're in the trial. Some of you here today are going through a trial just as I'm speaking these words, and I say to you, just hold on. There's a blessing coming. Don't waver. Don't forfeit. Be faithful. Be faithful. And I told the young people last Sunday morning, faithfulness will unlock the blessing of God in your life. I know that's not deep theology. I know it's nothing deep and just glamorous, but that is the truth. Your faith, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Faith unlocks blessings. Being steadfast unlocks blessings. James goes on to say in verse 12, second part, he said, "For when he has stood the test." Other versions say it like this. When he has passed the test, once his testing is complete, once he has been approved. I'll tell you this morning. I was never a good test taker in school. Never a good test taker. I wasn't a good homework person either. I just wasn't a good student. Let's just throw that out there. And I was never, you know, I didn't study. I didn't prepare. I don't know. I was just, I don't know, just kind of riding the wave of high school. Just, you know, whatever, que sera, sera. And even when I thought I was in the clear, Sister Lehan, I would hear the dreadful words from my teacher, pop quiz. And I'm like, pop quiz, pop tart. That's what I'm after. And when I was in high school, all I cared about was food, you know, where I was going to get food from. And school food was terrible, you know. So, you know, and I would hear those words, pop quiz. None of us were ever ready, you know. If I had a test that was on Friday, if I'm not doing good, you think I'm ready for a pop quiz on Tuesday? No. Let me tell you this. Life is nothing but a series of tests. Some we pass, some we fail. We may face a sudden new challenge on the job, or the boss may fire us with no warning, or the doctor may say, "I'm sorry, it is what you thought it was," or your spouse may leave you, your kids may disappoint you, your friends may desert you, or you may struggle with different things and depression and maybe even thoughts of suicide. You may be tempted to chuck it all in and run away and turn to things like alcohol and drugs. You may simply feel so overwhelmed that you can't imagine going on for another day. You may think, surely I can find happiness in something else. Surely the grass must be greener on the other side. But friend, James wants us to know that standing strong in hard times brings its own reward. The Bible says we will be approved by God. We will pass the test. We will get that A+ that we're longing for if you stand strong. Stand strong, steadfast, and you will pass the test. Job said this. Job 23:10 says, "He knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." When he has tested me. For a little while here lately, I've mentioned his name before, but Brother Trimble's son, who's facing cancer right now, my age, just baffling to me. Of course, cancer at any age is just baffling to me. He's facing such an uphill battle. And I remember hearing about it. And I remember reading about the diagnosis and what is going on. And I remember a Facebook post that he had read or that he had typed out. And he said this. He said, "If this is of God, I shall come forth as gold. But if this is of the devil, he has no idea what he has woken up. If this is from God, I shall come forth as gold. But if this is of the devil, he has no idea what he has woken up." Friend, trials come. Storms come. Problems come. That Job says he knows the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. When he has tested me, not if he tests me, but when. There will be a test, and sometimes it might feel like a pop quiz out of left field, but just be steadfast. Just stand tall and fight, and you will pass that test. You will be approved, and you will be blessed. So clap your hands unto the Lord this morning. Come on, worship is a part of you standing tall. Worship is a part of you fighting the battle. Be steadfast. There is no victory without a fight. There is no testimony without a test. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. When you read that word crown, you know, a lot of times we start to think of a crown like a king would wear. And you know, we'll be sitting on the throne. We have our crown that we receive. But I ask you, don't think of it as a crown like a king would wear. Think instead of the Olympics are going on right now. Think of it as in old times they would place the laurel wreath around the victorious athletes. It is the honor reserved for those who paid the price in hard times, so they could stand victorious in the end. It's God putting you in that victorious platform and placing the wreath around your head. It is the crown, amen, that God wants to give you for those who stand tall, for those who are steadfast under trial, for those who didn't waver, for those who didn't throw in the towel and forfeit. It is a crown that he wants to put on your head. Amen. When Winston Churchill finally became prime minister in May 1940, many people doubted his fitness for the job, and Great Britain was faced with the growing threat from Hitler and Nazi Germany, and in his first speech to the House of Commons, he spoke frankly about the difficulties that lay ahead, and then he uttered these oft-repeated words. He said this, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears and sweat." And they asked, what would the policy be for Great Britain again in this war against Hitler? And he says, "You ask what our policy is. I can say it is to wage war by sea, land, and air with all our might and with all the strength that God can give us." Then he laid out the ultimate goal. "You ask, what is our aim? What is our goal?" I can answer you in one word. It is victory. It is victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory, however long and hard the road may be. No wonder they loved him so much. He told them the truth about the task in front of them. And I think this morning that James would appreciate the words from Sir Winston Churchill's approach. Sometimes the Christian life is hard. Nobody's trying to get away from that. Sometimes it's very hard. Better that we know that now on the front end so that we are not surprised and overwhelmed when tough times come. But the good news is that God's policy is victory. Victory at all costs. However long and hard the road may be, friend, there's victory at the end of this thing we're headed. He intends for you to stand on the victor's platform in heaven. He intends for you to be the victorious one. Every single one of us, there's victory. He intends for you to wear the victor's crown. That's His will. That's His plan. Some of you have never won anything in your life. I'm telling you, you can win this. You can be the victor in this. What do you got to do? Stand! Stand! Well, my family doesn't go to church. You stand. I'm the only one serving God. You stand. Stand.
One of our most famous hymns says it very clearly. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me thus, safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. We love that song. But the part about the dangers, toils, and snares, not so much. Oh, we like to sing it. It's a good lyric. But if we were honest, we don't like that part. If life were easy, we would be tempted to think that we don't need God's grace. If the sky were always blue, we wouldn't cry out to God in desperation. You see, hard times break us of our self-reliance. They expose our weaknesses and show us our need for God. And God is attracted, listen to me, God is attracted to needs. To needs. We all need God. But the thing about it is, when everything's going so perfect in our life, when we're on cloud nine, we get to a place where we're just like, I'm good. And whenever we get to there, I'm not saying that we should walk around defeated. That's not my point here today. But what I'm saying is this. Whenever life is good, whenever our happiness is based on happenings, we get to the place where we don't need a Savior. And we come into church, no prayer request. We just, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm good. And we put on our face, our church face, and everything is good. But friend, every single one of us under the sound of my voice here this morning has a need. But if you don't show it, if you don't give it to God, God is attracted to needs. I don't ever want to get to the place where I feel that I don't need God. That everything is so good that I don't need Him, because He's attracted to needs. It's the trials that bring us closer to Him. Why? Because we need Him. The trial, the fiery furnace, the problem, the bad phone call, the doctor's report. It's all a platform, amen, that God can step on and come and manifest His power into your life and into your situation. Oh, I know it's a platform of pain, but it's still a platform nonetheless that God uses to step into your life. The platform of pain is not one that we want. It's not one that we choose. But it does expose us in need of a Savior, in need of a God who will comfort us. I can't explain problems. I can't explain the troubles that we go through. I can't explain any of those things. All I can explain to you is this, that if you stand tall and hold on and keep biting and remain faithful, friend, there is a victor's crown waiting for you at the end of this. We sometimes wonder what sort of faith we need in trying times like today. I answer back, we need such faith. Faith that cannot be touched or destroyed by trying times. We need faith that rests on God alone. Faith that is simple and deep and profound. We all want the life that God blesses. I want to live a blessed life. I want my family to be blessed. Amen. I want them to know the blessing of God and God's favor in what they do. And I'm here preaching to you today that these blessings
blessings are attainable. This blessing that God wants to give to you. You want a life full of blessing? You can have it. No one is left out, but it comes with a cost. It comes with a cost of pain and struggle and heartache. It comes with tears. It comes with a cost. There is no easy road to a blessed life. It is brought, it is bought with tears and paved with sorrow. If it is an easy life you want, friend, you will never take up your cross and follow Jesus. And here's the thing. We're all going to go through hard times, whether we're in the church or not in the church. You know, a lot of times we say, hey, we baptize you and you get full of the Holy Ghost, and it's like the devil puts this big target on you because you're on fire and he's ready to do battle and everything and come against you. Those things are real. Those things happen. And that's not to scare anybody, but like, man, I don't want to be baptized. I don't want the Holy Ghost or anything like that because the devil's going to be after me. I bet the devil's after me. I just about bust my head. The devil's going to be after me. No, friend. The devil's going to be after you regardless. Trials are coming whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, whether you're here on Sunday or not on Sunday. They're coming. They're coming. And I'm not up here using fear tactics. That's not my point here today. You understand my point that this blessing, the blessed life is attainable, but it comes with a cost. Hebrews 12:2 says this as our music comes this morning. That Jesus, Hebrews 12:2, Jesus saw the joy ahead of him. Jesus saw the joy ahead of him, so he endured death on the cross and ignored the disgrace it brought him. The word for endured in Hebrews 12:2 is the same Greek word translated endured in James 1:12. Following Jesus will always lead to a cross. Following Jesus will always lead to a cross. If you want the blessing, you must set out on the Jesus road, knowing there is a cross somewhere up ahead. And here's the thing. Those who follow him will never be put to shame. They are the ones who endure through trials, who are steadfast. And in the end, they finally receive the crown of life. Would you stand with me? I came across an article entitled The Law of Guitar Days. It's based on the observation that in order to make beautiful music, you must put the guitar strings under great stress. See, music is made in stress. A string has to be stressed. It has to be pulled tight to make music. The string has to be moved from its comfortable resting position if it's ever going to make music. And just a limp string makes no music. You have to tighten it and tighten it and tighten it. Only when the string is pulled tight can it produce a beautiful sound. So it is with you and me. When we are relaxed and comfortable, when the bills are paid, our family is intact, and all is well in our little corner of the world, Life may be grand, but we don't make much music. We have to be pulled. We have to be stretched. Pulled almost to the breaking point. Tightened again and again by a God who knows how much we can take and who will not stop until we are stretched to the point where our lives can reach maximum potential. No one here today says this is easy or painless. But making music for God and living a blessed life comes at a cost. But listen to me, that music, that melody that our lives produce when we are under great stress and yet endure joyfully because we are trusting in God, the song we sing, the song of sorrow, the song of suffering, that is what it means to be approved. That is what it means, my friend, to pass the test. And I believe we all want our lives to make music, but we don't want the pain. I'm standing here today telling you they go together. You can't have one without the other. I want you to leave here this morning encouraged and know, remember, all of us are in one of three places. We're either in a trial, just come out of a trial, or getting ready to go through a trial. Let these words from James chapter 1 encourage you today. That if you just endure, if you just stand tall and keep fighting. Don't let the things around you affect where you're headed. Peter looked out on the water and it was Jesus walking. And he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. And Jesus says, come. And so Peter gets out of the boat, begins to walk on the water. But it wasn't until he looked at the storm that he began to sink. Jesus says, oh, ye of little faith. I don't think Jesus hollered it at him. I don't think Jesus was getting on to him saying, oh, you have little faith. I can't believe you did that. I picture it like this. And he put his arm around Peter and he said, Peter, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why? Where's your faith at? We'll mess up. We'll make mistakes. We'll get our eyes off of Jesus and fix our problem. But friends, Jesus is right there ready to pick you up and talk to you for a little bit. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I do know this, that you're in one of three places. One of three places. Here's what I want to do in closing. I wonder if we could all gather in today. And I wonder if we can come pray with our family, sister with a sister, brother with a brother. It doesn't matter to me, but I want us to gather in today. Why? Because we're all here today in one of three places. You don't know what somebody's got going on in the person standing next to you. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But you can know this, that they're in one of three places. Let's draw strength today from God's Word and know that if we just endure, if we're steadfast, we have a crown of victory. He's wanting to place on our heads. He's got a crown of victory that He's wanting to give us. As they begin to play and sing, I would...